What the fuck is up, Punch Drunk Philosophy fans? We are back.
Woo!
Woo! Yeah, sorry, it's been a long hiatus. Lots of reasons. I won't go into it, but yeah, we're going to be back to regular scheduling now. Lots of fucking shit to talk about this week. Obviously, the news is dominated by the crazy, crazy story that has changed my world. Seals are having sex with penguins. Yes. I'm sure you guys saw it. I thought it was great. I had this like wonderful image of this National Geographic reporter coming across this kind of like Montague Capulet sort of thing. But then I found out the seals are eating them after. So that's destroyed my world, gave me a bit of an existential crisis of my love of animals. But hey, we digress. We have a huge announcement to make. As we have been advertising all over the Facebook and the Twitter, we have a huge announcement. Obviously, it's not ready for the podcast. We were going to say Chael Sonnen is going to join us for permanently as host, but we couldn't get it ready in time to make the big announcement of it because we didn't ask him. Ha! That's good satire, huh? Yeah. Anyway, joining me on the show this week, obviously, I am Adam, your host. It's just one word, like Wolverine.
What's that?
Fuck off. But yeah, okay, which one should I introduce first? We'll go with the Yankee man, a resident medical expert all the way from Buffalo, New York, and currently entrenched in a fuckload of snow, Dr. Tony Rosati.
Greetings, guys, from across the pond, the snowy pond, that is.
Yeah, fucking hell. You guys in your crazy weather over there, it's always just so unreal. Fucking normal here on this island.
Unreal.
Up in Mansfield, Mr. Charlie Giggle.
All right.
How are you doing today?
Average.
All right. Good to know. Okay, we will begin. Obviously, we'll give you just a bit of a layout of the show. First, we're going to start with the Time Is Now press conference that went down last night. As we satirized at the start of the show, like being the comic geniuses we are, they hinted at a big announcement. They were going on about a big announcement, and the big announcement didn't come. It was a cool press conference anyway. We learned some stuff. We had some laughs. We saw some things. Then we'll go into UFC 180, the fights that went down in Mexico City this weekend. Well, last weekend. Then we'll go into the tragic death of a Rufus sport fighter in a kickboxing bout, Dennis Brunson. And all the shit that comes down with that. Obviously, we brought Tony in, and he's going to give us his opinion on like the autopsy and what went down there. And obviously, there was loads of failures with the commission. And there's so much shit coming out about Rufus Sport as well, and their just general structure as a gym, and their attitude as a gym, and Duke Rufus as a coach. And fucking hell, it looks horrible. Like, so many fighters coming out and giving their stories about what happened there. And this is going to be a big fucking scandal in MMA, and well, it already is, but hopefully some shit will shake. And then obviously we'll give our previews for UFC Fight Night, Edgar versus Swanson this weekend. Loads of fucking sick fights on that. I am very excited for. Anyway, we should digress. Okay, starting with the Time Is Now conference. You guys both saw it?
Uh-huh.
Wasn't it a fucking letdown?
Yeah, that was a letdown.
They come out
very much so.
We can't. They do this. It's a big kind of Vegas show. We have John Anik with a very kind of well rehearsed, very polished speech, very optimistic about the UFC's future. We have this really kind of flashy trailer of all the fights coming up because there's so many good fights coming up, so many good title defenses, so many good contenders rising. Basically, and they laid out their entire schedule. Dana White comes out, and obviously the first question on everybody else's mind is, what's this big announcement? They've been talking about it, but and Dana White says, yeah, we couldn't get it done in time. And that's basically it. There's no big announcement. Let's get on with the press conference. So
he felt really well, I thought. The way someone asked the question, he said, oh, that's the first question. Yeah. Well, unfortunately we couldn't get that done for next time. Yeah. You over there, what do you want?
And nobody talked about it.
To talk about Conor McGregor. You know, sold that absolutely brilliantly.
Yeah, nobody else asked about it though. There was no questions like, oh, okay, what was it? When will we know? When will it be done?
They value their credentials.
They did ask. Yeah, I don't know if that's it, but journalists can ask about that. That's not too much of a controversial question, is it?
If I was out, I wouldn't have asked.
I would have asked it. I want to know. But the clue to it, I mean, a lot of people have heard they were when they're going on about, oh, the return of an icon, that was a term thrown about. I was kind of suspicious that this would be a dud because they haven't been talking about the special announcement that much in the last week. Usually if there was like a big hype announcement, they would be in all of their tweets. They'd be like, oh, it's like, stay tuned for the special announcement to make. Instead, they were just talking about the press conference. They were just talking about the fighters coming. They were just talking about laying out the schedule. And they were sort of downplaying the whole special announcement. So it's sad, but hey, the big rumor that's coming out now, because when they were talking about Return of an Icon, we couldn't really think of any people we'd really want back. But it's possibly Rampage. Quentin Rampage Jackson, currently in Bellator, tweeted out, sometimes it's better to be with the devil you know at UFC. So it's possible they've been in negotiations through all this time to come back, to bring Rampage back from Bellator to the UFC, and that would have been the big announcement. I mean, do you guys think that would have been a big announcement enough to warrant the return of an icon? I mean, Tony, as a Rampage fan?
I am, but it's not big enough to for the big announcement, you know? I mean, I thought it was kind of interesting, you know, what was going on with Rampage and Bellator. You don't hear much about them. And ever since the whole dynamic switched over there, I was actually, this timing is very interesting because I was wondering what's going on with him and his life. And, you know, with the whole Tito and Bonner fight debacle, you wonder why, you know, Rampage won that tournament. You didn't hear from him. He was supposed to fight for the title and he hasn't. So I can't think of any other icons. Like, I know we were talking off the air about GSP, which has been rumored. I mean, he would be considered an icon. Rampage had his moment in UFC. I'm a little bit biased because I like him. But as the sport's evolved, Rampage is not. So, you know, he just wants to go in there and he likes to just throw, and it's gotten kind of mundane with him against the top level fighters. So did it warrant that special announcement? No. You know, I mean, the whole conference was a letdown. I was sitting here excited, and I'm disappointed they didn't even announce. I mean, they announced the dates, but they didn't even announce locations exactly and all that. So to me, it was a big, big waste of time.
Yeah, we basically found out more or less everything we know already, apart from dates, because they kept saying, like, yes, we intend to look into new markets like Russia and Poland. It's like, well, you've been saying that for years. We know you intend to go to these markets, but until you've actually got some kind of concrete idea of when and where, then you're just intending again. This is not new information. This doesn't warrant this big kind of show. But overall, it was quite good in the sense of they did the same last year when they had the press conference with the four big fights that were coming up at the end of the year, the four kind of big headliners. It's just kind of a general show of optimism and faith in the future of the UFC.
Right.
I don't know, Charlie, I mean, you obviously saw the conference, but you tuned out of it, didn't you?
Yeah, I tuned out in protest. I voted with my feet. It's just a complete childish move on my part. And then I just sort of sat by my phone and had you tell me what was going on the whole time. And so I don't really know why I tuned out, but I did. But I mean, this press conference is something that's very popular nowadays. You've seen Apple do it. Obviously, you saw we saw Sony and you saw Microsoft when the big consoles were coming out. They did conferences like this. This Apple, I think, were probably the kind of people who started it. It's this big marketing thing now. It's this big marketing PR sales. They bring it all together and they have this massive WrestleMania-type celebration of the brand. And it's this very sort of totemistic kind of, you know, self-love that they do. And it's something that they can do year after year and they know people will turn up. And it's very media-friendly and they get everyone involved. And, I mean, it makes sense to do it. But it is very corporate and, in my opinion, I'm not entirely sure it's a very good way of promoting yourself as the UFC. And it's just something we've seen in wrestling. The corporate look doesn't work in wrestling or MMA, in my opinion. I think the way you get people in is that kind of the outlaw mentality, you know, the crazy people. And you can set that up well and you can make something look like it's supposed to look corporate, but have it so someone comes in and just wrecks the whole thing. Like, they could have had Conor McGregor come in, you know, swear, go nuts. And yeah, he did have a bit of trash, but it was all a little bit PC. It was all a little bit, okay, you're trash talking. And he said some funny things, but why not have him, you know, throw a table over? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that would have been good. I was sort of hoping a brawl would kick off.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do this PR style, and this PR style comes from a lot of people, including Gary Cook, who is a terrible PR man, a terrible human being. And this is the way that the UFC are going. They are going more corporate, they're going more sleek, and that's the way they're choosing to push their brand. I don't think it's good branding myself, and I think they will see themselves sort of, you know, because the people who aren't already fans of the UFC, I still think they'll kind of see through it, if you know what I mean. Because they'll still see Dana, and they'll still, and the people who think Dana is sleazy will still think he's sleazy after this press conference. And the people who don't think he's sleazy, the kind of people who kind of actually have some respect for him, are the kind of people who'll say, oh, that's way too corporate. See what I mean?
Right.
One funny thing, you guys...
It's not the way I've done it, but that's the way they did it.
One funny thing you guys may have noticed. Did you notice in the trailer they included, like, footage from the Jones-Cormier brawl? So that shows where they stand on that.
Ooh, I didn't realise that, actually.
No, they did. I mean, like, this is obviously not a disgrace to the sport. I mean, they're using it to hype the fight. They're showing, like, ooh, look at them. They were throwing punches in a press conference. I like that they included that, if I'm honest.
And that's good for business.
The two of them bantered back and forth, too, a little bit, Cormier and Jones. So they, you know, more in, you know, what did Jones say? Dana, could you step aside? So, you know, in the middle of the conference, too. So they were trying to hype that up a little bit more again, too. More in a jokingly manner, but you could tell they're pissed. So
I thought most of the fighters missed an opportunity with this press conference, as in, like, with the answers they were giving. Because this is such a big platform to be heard. I mean, the biggest kind of missed opportunity was Dennis Siver. He only got one question all night. And it's sort of generally what you would ask him. It's like, what do you think about this fight? And everybody's looking past you. This was his kind of opportunity to sort of, like, state his claim, hype the fight. And he should have said, no, it's ridiculous. I mean, the UFC shouldn't have booked this fight because I'm going to tear Conor apart limb from limb. Or just said something like that. But it's just sort of like, yeah, I'm confident of victory. And I can't even really remember what he fucking said. It was that kind of generic response.
How's his English, though?
Well, it was translated from German.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was translated, but it was just sort of like, you know, your generic kind of statement. Poor CB Dolloway. At least he got a free trip to Vegas. He didn't get any questions. But yeah, there wasn't that much, that many questions from Machida either. Most of the questions seemed to Conor McGregor took up a lot of time. Jones and Cormier got a bit.
And Diaz, unfortunately, took up a lot of time, too. He still is the most painful human being to hear. I cannot... The man does not... Somebody needs to talk for him. It's so awkward. I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but my God. I mean, he is so awkward to talk to. They ask him a question, and he just... Even... I don't know what was going on. There was some confusion. And then I think Jones was looking at him like he wanted to kill him because some guy
towards the
end of the press conference asked about Dana about, I don't know, I didn't really follow it at first, something about he wants a shot in the UFC and he beat some guys and people were ducking him and he made a shout out to their, whatever, their area code. And
yeah, it was one of Diaz's teammates.
Yeah, so Diaz was talking to him while, even though this guy, I think, addressed John Jones. And Jones kept looking back at Diaz like, are you done already? You going to shut the fuck up? Like, it was pretty funny. Like, actually, and I'm watching Diaz going, this is a train wreck. I'm like, this guy cannot talk at all. I mean, he needs to hire a publicist or a spokesperson for him. And just
a wrestling-style manager.
Yeah, but that's him, though. That's him, though. He's not meant to be good at interviews. He's meant to just sort of like say the occasional awkward thing and just talk stupid shit.
I'm honest. I'm fine with him not being able to talk.
Yeah, it's just so painful to watch. I watch it and I'm like, oh, I'm embarrassed.
Exactly. Put him on there.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of great respect between him and Anderson. I mean, obviously he was talking shit on GSP for not taking
which is pretty funny. Which was pretty funny.
It's funny when he can be. Like, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, it's just when he tries to answer in any kind of like corporate way, he just can't. He's just awkward about that. But when he's sort of like really expressing himself, he goes for it. And he's quite interesting and entertaining.
Right.
Yeah, Conor McGregor, he talked some shit. He said, who the fuck is Nick Lentz? He shat on the rest of the division. Just sort of his, you know, sort of his general self. Chris Weidman, Vitor, I can't remember really much what they said, to be honest.
Vitor looks small.
Yeah. Rousey did her general thing. She really annoyed me with the comment, like, somebody asked her a question, like, oh, who are the fighters to watch? And she's like, well, me and, like, these other people here, like, obviously. Right. And it's like, well, no, obviously the question about fucking up-and-comers. Don't be so fucking arrogant. Come on.
Yeah, she's
trying to do that kind of Chael Sonnen thing, I think.
Yeah.
I think she's trying to sort of... I mean, I think I described it before, and she's evolved since then, but I described her early on as a bad person trying to be a different bad person. See what I mean? I think this is kind of how she likes to present herself, with this kind of rowdy character, but she doesn't always pull it off very well. Do you know what I mean? She doesn't have that pure confident streak that someone like Chael Sonnen had. But I think because she understands wrestling, she understands, you know, how to promote herself in a way, she kind of goes for it a little bit, and she, you know, she knows how to do the generic wrestling heel comments, but she doesn't always deliver them properly. And it kind of, I agree with you on that. It does kind of rub me up the wrong way. It just comes across as kind of weird and, like, insincere.
She gave a fucking good stare down, though.
Yeah, she's good for a stare down.
Like, a lot of the stare downs were pretty cool. I mean, like, Vitor, I'm really annoyed they didn't get more questions out of Vitor and Weidman, because they really hate each other, and there's a lot of kind of controversy, especially if they brought in the juice issue. If someone said the TRT word, there would have been like a lot of stuff to report on.
Mm.
But yeah, I don't know. It was quite a cool conference overall. It was something to watch. Shame about the announcement. We probably, if it was Rampage, then we're probably not going to get much word on that for a while.
Who's he going to fight?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like,
what's the point?
Who do you bring him in?
Shogun?
Yeah, that's it. Like Shogun in Japan or something.
Yeah.
At the head of a fight night.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that.
Me neither.
Poor Shogun.
The Japanese people might, but...
Yeah.
Well, we can move on to, if anybody else has anything else, do you have anything else to say on the like press conference where they said nothing?
No, I was just very disappointed. It's very disappointing. I want to know where these fights are. I want to start planning.
Yeah.
I gotta make some trips. I heard Toronto is going to be in the mix again, so I'd like to know when that is.
Yeah, I thought they were going to unveil locations when they said their whole schedule, but it's just dates. I thought, oh, that could be anything.
It's unbelievable, but what are you going to do? Yeah. It is what it is.
They didn't even give out all the dates. If you look at the calendar, it's a couple of dates that are still TBD.
Oh, yeah, so it was...
So what's the fucking point?
I know.
Basically, they told us there were going to be 45 events next year. That's the news.
Yeah.
That's the only thing we don't know now. I mean, that's the only thing we know now that we didn't know 2 days ago.
And we knew the breakdown, too. They were so nice as to say, well, there's going to be this many pay-per-views and this many Fox Sports 1 and, you know, fight event passes. And, you know, they kind of gave the numbers. But, yeah, that's not newsworthy for a huge press conference, so...
No, it also only matters to the American market, because for people that aren't American or Canadian, I don't really know what the TV deal is in Canada.
Yeah.
For us, it's basically all the same. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's only relevant to the US anyway. And this is supposed to be this massive worldwide press conference thing.
And the journalists could have done a bit better in terms of, we didn't get that much out of them. I mean, these are the most relevant guys in the sport right now, and your questions sort of didn't really carry much. And didn't really generate much. I mean, I thought a bit more effort could have been made there on that. But I mean, if I was there asking questions, I probably would have stirred up some shit. That would have been more fun. Where was Ariel? We needed him.
Yeah.
Sherdog was there, though.
Yeah.
Someone from Sherdog was there. They must have their credentials back. That's good.
Well, maybe this is like an open call event, and that's why they went.
Oh, maybe. It was someone said from Sherdog.com.
Yeah, it must have been an open call event, because there was a guy that was a teammate of Nick Diaz there.
Yeah, but that was in the fan questions bit, I think.
Okay, well, maybe he was in with the fans.
Mm, I try to remember. I'll go to
it. And then broke in.
No. He wasn't with the fans. It was before the fans.
Yeah, I thought it was earlier.
Questions. Good. Yeah, because he even introduced himself through Sherdog. So.
Well, that's good. Yeah. That's excellent news. It's good to see them back on the good side of the UFC. I have a lot of respect for them.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, UFC 180 went down in Mexico City. The first UFC event in Mexico. All the Mexicans won on it, by the way. That's always a good show when they go into a market. And we had a clash for the interim heavyweight title. Do you guys want to start with the main event? Loads of fucking sick fights. Also, what the fuck has happened to decisions?
Yeah.
Where have decisions been in the last three events?
Yeah, indeed.
It's not a bad thing.
I mean, a while ago, it used to be like we'd get one or two finishes in an event sometimes. Like now, it's like in the UFC Sydney, there was no decisions. Like every fight had a finish in it. Shogun St. Peru, I think there was only one or two, and now it's like there were only three, wasn't it? Yeah,
three.
Yeah, the three. Beltran, the Perez, and Rodriguez fight, right?
Yep.
All of those, and also like crazy finishes, like submissions, like flying knees, like really cool stuff. I mean, I don't know what's happened. You guys care to speculate as why there's suddenly this massive increase in finishes in the UFC?
That is what they want. To be fair, I mean, that's what they've been instructed to do. I mean, you can see just from looking at the salaries, like how low fighter pay is compared to gate. I mean, MMA fighters get at the bottom of the card, get absolutely shellacked by the UFC, and I'm happy to say that and stick up for that view any day of the week. And they're going to get a lot more money if they do what Dana White gets, and they'll get, you know, better booking. I mean, it is, you know, it's much better to go out there and get in the good books of the UFC, because sometimes that's more important than just winning. And I think maybe people are just really starting to twig onto that.
Do you reckon it's probably like just, so you think it's like locker room bonuses, a lot more of them for finishes now?
Yeah, I mean, if you're only earning $9,000, which was what Kat Zingano earned at some point recently, right?
18. It was 9 to show, 9 to win, yeah.
Okay, well, if you're only earning 18, you've got a possible performance bonus of $50,000. I mean, come on.
And these prelim guys are getting maybe a couple grand. Maybe, you know, I think 3,000 to win sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially for the, you know, and that's nothing. I mean,
that'll barely pay your bloody training costs.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. And with everybody else. So, and I think also they're just tired of the judging. I think this judging debacle has gone on so long that they're just like, screw it. Might as well take the chances, I think, instead of going, I mean, why might I go through this whole fight? On top of the bonuses, let's try to get a bonus and let's try to get a win. I mean, you could do everything you want instead of playing it safe in the past. You can't count on these judges. So, you know, they're just, that could be it too.
Do we like locker room bonuses? Beauty, do you consider them to be a good thing? Because I'm not sure I like them, to be honest. I mean, what if Adam Silver just came into the NBA, decided to give a massive, you know, bail out loads of money to the Golden State Warriors because they pass the ball a lot. You know what I mean? To encourage basketball to pass
anything
the ball.
That gives more fighters more money, really. I'm good with that.
Yeah, I'm fine with it too.
And I still think they need a union.
Yeah, I agree with that. But that's a discussion for another time. That's a big issue.
Right.
Capturing the interim heavyweight title, now the fifth interim champion in heavyweight history, I think. This division can't stay healthy. Fabricio Werdum captures it from Monocont. He was losing the fight. He knocked down twice in the first round, I believe. Hunt was doing fucking well. I was surprised. And then, for some reason, puts his head down into a flying knee, which is weird for a veteran striker. Werdum knocks him out. Second round, captures the interim title. I think only one interim champion, if I'm right, has gone on to win the actual title now, haven't they?
Who's that?
That was Arlovsky, but he was promoted to it rather than be the champ.
God, that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Just in heavyweight we're talking about, right?
Yeah, just in heavyweight, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because obviously like Carwin and Mir and Nogueira didn't.
Basarut never came back.
He wasn't interim, he was full champ.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Yep. That was a long-ass fucking time. UFC 20.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a fucking good fight in terms of, like, everybody thought this was a beatdown for Hunt, because Hunt had that really bad interview he did with Ariel Helwani a few days before the fight, and his mental state was not there. I mean, he's clearly having like some family issues or something. He said like times aren't good for Mark Hunt, the father, which is not good to deal with like the week of a fight. And obviously he's doing a massive weight cut because he was off weight, and he's at very, very, very high altitude, because people didn't realize, like, you saw him fight in Denver, in Colorado, which in UFC 135, and his cardio was a mess because the altitude. Everyone talks about Denver and the altitude, but Mexico City, I'm not sure of the exact, but it's like several thousand feet higher. So that obviously put it, we didn't get to see the later rounds. But still, he paced himself well. He was only going for like prop shots. He tried not to follow Fabricio Werdum to the ground. I thought he did very well, because Werdum was like going down quite easy and trying to sort of like slip him into the guard, like sort of like in the Overeem fight. He got him in the guard at one point. Hunt did a very good job to avoid. But okay, we'll go to Tony with this. What do you think this fight says about like Verdum's chances against Kane? I mean, does this validate Werdum as a title contender more to you or less, because he got dominated for a bit by Hunt? Well, not dominated, but bested.
I mean, I think it solidifies Werdum as top two in the division. I still think Kane, I don't think it's validating him as a legitimate shot to Kane. I mean, you never know, but I still don't think, I think there's still a different level. The first round, like you said, Hunt dominated, and then he got caught with a knee in the second round. I just don't see Werdum taking out Kane. I don't see Kane losing that belt for a while, honestly.
Well, unless he gets stripped.
Well, yeah, if he gets stripped, yeah, that's a whole other story. But Werdum, I mean, Verdum's always been solid. I never had an issue with him. I just don't know. I mean, again, anything can happen, and he could surprise me. I just don't see Werdum. I mean, he gets him to the ground. He's got superior jiu-jitsu. Okay, maybe. But is he going to get Kane to the ground? You know, I don't know.
And Kane doesn't spend a lot of time in guard when he's on the ground.
Right.
As well.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know what you guys think. I just don't see it. I don't see... I mean, again, in the, it's unfortunate too, because that division is so weak and it's so murky right now, and you never know. I mean, with Kane with his knee and everything, is he going to be back? Is he going to get stripped of the belt? We may not even see it. So, head to head, the two of them. Again, I don't know though. Kane comes back, maybe he's not going to be 100%. Maybe that knee is going to be bothering him. Maybe he's going to be easy prey for Werdum. I don't see it. I don't see him losing ground with this win. I'm also not more confident with him as well either, as far as Kane, you know. But again, I see Kane. There's only really three or four contenders in that whole division right now, I see. And I think I think Kane's just far superior than Werdum, myself anyway. So I don't know what you guys think.
I'm inclined to agree. I mean, you saw how Kane handled Brock Lesnar, and then when you think about that, you realize Kane is actually a different, like, he's a sneaky, amazing athlete.
Right.
And when you think of that, and you think of the Doom, not the most athletic, you know, kind of heavyweight. I mean, he's lean, but he's not the most athletic. And I think one thing this does open up is a chance for Junior Dos Santos, because Kane's gone.
That's the most fucking horrifying prospect. Dos Santos, Kane 4.
Yeah.
But it does open a chance for Werdum, Dos Santos too. And obviously that's a bit of a story, if he can get through Miocic. And that itself is an interesting storyline, because he's obviously beaten Werdum.
Right.
Yeah,
that's good for him.
It's a good fight, but it's just, if Dos Santos wins that, then that sets up a fourth, like that Kane comes back and he's fighting Dos Santos again. And the last fights we've seen for the heavyweight title have been, well, with last four fights Kane has had, he's only had two opponents. Like, you got the bullshit rematch with Bigfoot, and you got another bullshit rematch with Dos Santos after the beatdown that was before. You can't rematch from a 5-round and then a 4.5-round. No, it was 5.5. Yeah. Well, 4.5. Yeah, 4.5-round beatdown. Because it was just Kane dominated every second of those fights.
Yes.
And there's no grounds for a rematch there anyway. And I'm deeply concerned about the amount of blunt force trauma Junior Dos Santos is taking in those fights because his corner men are fucking idiots. But, yeah, it's a mess of a division right now. But I don't know, I kind of feel Verdum needed to make more of a statement in this fight. He probably played it safe, though, because the only strike he really properly landed, or the only significant thing he did in the fight, was land that knee, which was partly dependent on Mark Carnett going down, making the mistake and going down into it for some reason. But I don't know. I just feel like if Verdum really wanted to send a tape, because Hunt was coming on this so late, his cardio was obviously like not there. Verdum's been training for this for ages. Verdum is a solid striker. We saw what he did to Travis Brown. But yeah, I don't know. Hunt came out of this fight better, in my opinion.
Yes.
Partly not. I mean, obviously he doesn't have the strap, but overall, Mark Hunt, he's solidified his like spot as a top contender because nobody expected him to win this. But now he proves he belongs at the championship level because he easily could have won against Verdum. If that knee didn't happen and he continued and he threw something, because he was getting close with some of those, he easily could have put Verdum away. But someone more exciting, Kelvin Gastelum. Fucking hell, as a welterweight. How sick is that guy? Still undefeated. Ellenberger, I don't know what to do with him now. That's a 3-fight skid, admittedly, like, to against the two.
What's his fighting?
I see that, to be honest. The thing is, he's exposed a real fundamental flaw in his game. When Gastelum took the back, Ellenberger did nothing to defend it. He just sort of has those weird moments of like lapsing in concentration and just sort of freezing up and doing nothing. And in MMA, you just can't do that.
Not the top level.
No. So that sort of kept Ellenberger from it. And I don't know, Gastelum's fucking exciting. He's rising and... I don't know, sky's the limit with this dude.
He covers distance so quickly.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. He should have been the guy we should have been talking about on The Ultimate Fighter. Fucking Uriah Hall.
yeah, good point.
Distracted, like this kind of sneak stuff from behind. Also, I don't know, the person who impressed me most out of on this entire card, though, was definitely Ricardo Lamas.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking hell. Technical beauty. Yep. And, like, Bermudez is no fucking joke. He's been on a tear. Arguably, Holloway beat him, but he's on a tear, and his cardio is fucking ridiculous as well. If you saw the embedded show, when he's at high altitude in Mexico City, he's running, like, super sprinting on this treadmill, and he's not out of breath in the slightest. Like, he's talking at the same time. He's talking to this other guy next to him. And it's like, this guy's a ridiculous athlete. But Lamas just handled him. I mean, fucking hell, he would just own Conor McGregor, in my opinion. I don't think they'll set up that fight, because I think Ricardo Lamas... Conor McGregor kept saying Ricardo Lamas fought like a pussy. On the thing. So, yeah, do you think they're going to make that matchup of Lamas and Conor McGregor? Because I'm thinking... Ricardo Lamas and Chad Mendes.
To be honest.
Say again?
Yeah, Mendes looks better.
Yeah.
Don't you think they'll put him straight in a title shot?
Maybe McGregor after he beats Siva.
I think they'll put him straight in a title shot, to be honest.
I could see that. Well, a lot of it depends on this weekend, though. Edgar versus Swanson and what happens.
No, they'll have that fight first, but I think they can sit him out. I don't think they'll want to let him lose against someone like Lamas. I think if they give him another fight after that, they'll give him someone else he can beat.
Yeah, that would screw up the whole situation with McGregor. Yep. Could you imagine Lamas going in and beating him? I would love it because I can't stand McGregor.
Really? Why not?
I don't know. Admittedly, sometimes I got to put my bias aside, and I, That freaking press conference yesterday irritated me. And the three people that irritated me the most, you could probably guess, were McGregor, Bones, and Rousey. And I understand it's part of the game, and they're good, and I'm not going to deny that. They're all skill set. And, you know, just McGregor was hilarious. He stole the show, but I don't know. Let him beat Aldo, and then I'll respect him more. Bones, I've respected a little bit more because he's beating people, but and Rousey, just, she's been a bitch. I don't know. Plain and simple, she's a little arrogant bitch. I don't know. And again, I got to take myself out of that situation. I just don't like the whole cockiness and the whole, you know, I just don't know. McGregor rubs me the wrong way for some reason, you know, but. It would be interesting if Lamas took out McGregor, because it looks like McGregor's becoming UFC's next golden boy.
Do you guys agree with the statement that Lamas has a bet? Conor McGregor has a better shot against Jose Aldo than he does against Ricardo Lamas. Stylistically,
not really, to be honest.
No,
I think if he gets involved in a striking bout with Jose Aldo, because considering the speciality and considering his like power, but I think just grappling wise, Lamas, and the way he's able to set things up as well, is just light years above McGregor. And McGregor's been subbed before twice, so I say Lamas or Mendez are stylistically so much worse for Conor McGregor than Aldo.
That's definitely an argument. I can see it, but I think Aldo might just be that kind of different level.
Oh yeah, he is.
I'm sure you can do style matchups with him. I think he might just be that good.
Yeah, although I think he's in a different planet. I
had money on Mendez to beat him, to be honest.
I was going to put money on it. I'm glad I did.
Oh no, you're right. I didn't. I pulled out.
Oh, did you? Oh, sick.
Yeah, I did last second.
Oh, that was a good call.
Yeah, that's right. You liked you. You thought that's right, Adam. You wanted you were all about Mendez,
yeah,
weren't you?
I forgot about that.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I was pretty convinced Mendez was going to be Aldo. I thought Aldo was on the decline, but Aldo is not. Sure, he came into that fight top form.
But
the thing is, like with Lamas as well, it's like he's obviously technically improved. He's obviously one of the best guys in the division, arguably second best. We'll find out when he fights Mendez. But you can't put him in a title shot again because his last fight was so fucking terrible. I mean, who's going to want to watch Aldo and Lamas again? I mean, Lamas has to do something like remarkably... He has to go on a like remarkable streak to justify it and just completely change. He needs to finish Chan Mendes, I think, if he's going to have any shot at a title.
Yeah.
Because he needs something to say, have like some absolute statement that I've changed. Like, Lamas is a weird one as well, because I don't think he like does any media at all. I barely see him anywhere on anything apart from when he's fighting. So, and all the other guys... that's also the statement as well. Like, people talking about Swanson is, should you be out there demanding your title shot? Should you be out there asking for it, or should you just be out there winning?
I think asking generally helps.
Oh, yeah, obviously. I mean, yeah, it's quite a weird one in terms of like people talk about personality, interesting personality as a fighter, but in reality, if you just work on your fighting and you're out there destroying people and kicking ass, then you sort of become interesting in yourself. Even if you're, I mean, if you look at someone like Fedor, for example, he's about as normal as you can get as a dude, really. I mean, no, he has the kind of air of mystery because he just doesn't talk that much and he's pretty cool. But when you sort of see him in interviews, he's the kind of guy you sort of see at work, like a couple of days. You wouldn't really like go for a drink with him, but it's like, oh, yeah, he's all right, dude. Like, you know, you talk to him occasionally, you have really no idea what he does. And You get what I mean, but he's so fascinating because he fights like a fucking beast. I don't know. It's this weird balance you got to get. But overall, if you want to earn the title shot, if you're out there in exciting fights, it's bound to happen. I mean, Lamar's got a title shot and he didn't do really that much media.
Assuming you fight exciting, mm-hmm. then I'm with you. Like, assuming your actual fight style once you get in there is exciting, yes. But if your Ricardo Lamas is a little bit of a top control guy, he's got ground and pound too. He can finish people, not saying that. But, like, he's not going to do a spinning back kick and knock someone out, probably.
No, probably. But he does some fucking sweet-ass guillotines.
Yes.
That was beautiful. That was technical. Like, going to the side to trap the arm, that was nice. And, but I know this, he had the kind of thing on the mic when he, like, called out for the bonus. So we might see more of Lamas now. He shit-talked on McGregor, so hopefully we're going to sort of see more of him, see what he's up to, and he's become a bigger name, and he start doing media now. On the other fight, Augustin Montano, it beat the guy who got subbed with an omoplata. It's a pretty cool fight, pretty knees. He's a Mexican prospect. Obviously, like these two underfights with Urbina as well, with an awesome guillotine. These fights for the Mexican fans, big names in Mexico. Do you other guys watch the Ultimate Fighter Latin America?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have not.
It was all right. It was mostly just them complaining about the kitchen the whole time. It's like, oh, the kitchen's a mess. The kitchen's a mess. The kitchen's a mess. It was them. It was them. It was them. And it just got really dull. And then some guy from Mexico beats the shit out of some guy from Panama or something. Leandro Morales, I think he's from... was it Honduras?
I can't remember, to be honest with you.
He's either Honduras, and I think, Guido, he's from Argentina. He was the Argentinian
one. Yeah, he was Argentinian.
Rodriguez wins the featherweight Ultimate Fighter, and Alejandro Perez captures the bantamweight one. The first Ultimate Fighter Latin America. It was very successful, very popular over there. It was a very good show, and he's very, very fucking good at selling it to Mexico. And the fact that they've announced they're coming back to Mexico twice next year, showing that this is a booming market. I mean, it was really interesting in the kind of promo we saw they did for the Mexican market when they were really hammering the fact that, oh, it's a much safer than boxing. This is a lot better than boxing. It's more exciting than boxing, more dynamic than boxing. Like, they are really trying to steal that kind of that like massive fan base they had there.
Also, that's what they're trying to do.
Also, guys, did you see Quinones, when he headbutted Perez and he got 2 points taken away from him? It didn't matter in the decision in the end. But Joe Rogan said, oh, that's the first time I've seen 2 points taken away from a guy. I got angry at the screen. I went like, no, Joe, UFC 143, Alex Caceres against, who is he against? Figueroa. He got 2 points taken away from him for repeated groin kicks. And then I realized I was nerdier about UFC than the guy who's been sitting next to them. The guy who's been sat there watching all of them for years and years and years. I'm nerdier than him about UFC.
That's excellent.
Yeah. Oh, well. And obviously we had the Jessica I, Leslie Smith ear incident.
Yeah.
Jessica I, though. Fucking hell, those combos. Crisp. Speed. She's a fucking good striker. But I was talking to a friend of mine. She was really bothered by this fight. Like, she really, really irked her. And she said it was because it was from a punch. As in, if it was from a knee or, like, an elbow or something, the ear wouldn't have bothered her. But the fact that it was from a punch and, like, sort of feels like it could happen at any time, that kind of irked her a lot. I don't know. It's a weird thing. Shout out to you, Kelly. she probably doesn't listen. then we had somebody shit themselves before they got choked out unconscious. Humberto Brown. Oh, really unfortunately named.
From the other day.
Basically, like, Humberto Brown, he needs to beg the UFC to get another fight, and then he needs to come in. He needs to do cocaine before the fight or something, or just come out screaming like the power of lightning or something, and be remembered as anything else other than the guy who shit himself
with the surname Brown.
Yep. But it was a fucking sweet choke. Like Humberto Brown, he just kept sticking his neck out all the time and just getting caught in that
joke. Marcella team, right?
Yeah, that was a, he switched it to a Marcella team, and then you eventually
different grip.
Yeah, and Guido, like the probably like, the most vocal of a team line, where he hits hard. He has some really good strikes against Henry Briones. He was really dominating that fight. He was really hurting him until that one uppercut and then rear naked choke from Henry Briones. And Beltran beat Marlon Vera. I was sad about Vera because I really want Vera to do well because he's fighting, if you saw, for that. Because his daughter has a condition like the muscle tissues in her face where she can't smile. And there was a moment on The Ultimate Fighter where he said like he's paying to earn the money to pay for the surgery so he can see his daughter smile. So he's fighting so he can literally like see his daughter smile for the first time. And I was like, that's that's a guy I want to root for. Shame he lost, but I assume I hope he'll be taken care of anyway. I wish him all the success in the world. But that was UFC 180 anyway. That was a fucking cool event overall.
Before you move on a second.
Say again?
Before you move on Ricardo Lamas, before we get too off the subject. He still goes by the nickname The Bully, right?
I think so.
I think he still does. Now, what is the UFC PR department doing? Not like a bully is one of these things right now. Where bully is this massive bullying is this massive hot topic right now, and so many companies, including UFC, have given money to anti-bullying initiatives. And I'm not saying I'm part of this group. Like I'm not a big bullying guy. Like I'm gonna get hate mail for that now. Obviously, it's an issue, but you know, it's a big. All I'm saying, it's a big issue right now. And I think the UFC, for how much they pump into PR. I think if they're going to really push Ricardo Lamas as a main event, they might want to have a little bit of a talk about that name. Because I will be the one trying to defend it when the mothers get a hold of the fact that this is happening.
I fundamentally, I don't think the UFC give a shit about a lot of those people. I mean, I always thought
it's
that,
outside of the graphic.
Yeah, have you seen that satire page, Mothers Against Violent Sports?
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. That basically kind of highlighted it to me that nobody's coming after us. There aren't that many people interested in like and outraged by MMA. I mean, I'm not sure if like the bully in terms of, yeah, there's not that many people who will sort of pick up on all those sort of things. Those people who were like, they don't watch UFC. The people watching UFC, they don't give a shit about these small details and they won't like create a lot of controversy over.
No, it's true.
But
if we had a guy called the Axe Murderer, do you know what I mean? And no one is afraid that he's going to tell everyone that it's okay to be an Axe Murderer. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's...
it is ridiculous. Don't get me wrong, but it doesn't matter that it's ridiculous. It won't always stop people complaining about it.
I just think nobody's complained about it yet. I know Gray Maynard, he has dogs. He has bully dogs, doesn't he?
Didn't Gray Maynard stop calling himself the bully at one point?
I don't think so. It's because of his dogs. He's got bullies. So that's why I'm not sure what Ricardo Lamas has. I mean, he doesn't strike me as the guy who like was a dickhead who bullied people. We see him as perfectly
nice. No, that's
just
his fighting style, isn't it? He's got good top control and he has ground and pound.
Yeah, so that's it.
And it's okay to call someone an axe murderer because they're not actually going to be an axe murderer. Right. So why is it not okay to be a bully? No, it's true.
I don't know.
The PR department is very extensive and is deleting videos from YouTube all the bloody time because it shows Miguel Angel Torres a little bit messed up.
Yeah, that's a different thing. I know, in regards to this sort of thing, like bullying's
gives
a fighting
sort of
style.
Into their strategy.
Bullying's a fighting style quite a lot. I mean, when you're around like fighters a lot and you hear it pushed around as like a technical term a lot, as like make sure you bully him in the ring, like make sure you sort of establish a jab, force him into a corner.
It's bullying in every sport.
So if you sort of have that as like a style, then that's probably going to get picked up. So that's probably where it's come from in that sense. Has anybody else got anything else? Tony, have you got anything else more to say on UFC 180 and the wonderful things that transpired?
No, I think we covered it all.
Okay, cool, wonderful. Okay, we move on to the other big news of the week. Yeah, this is shit. This is a terrible incident. This is not something you want in combat sports. Falling out of Rufus Sport gym and now creating a lot of controversy. A young fighter in a kickboxing bout, Dennis Munson Jr., has died after like just a horrible set of errors and circumstances by people who should not be involved with the sport. I'm not going to say too much on it yet. I mean, I'm first going to take it to, we've got our medical expert, Dr. Tony, right here with us. You've had a look at the autopsy and think, I mean, what happened here?
Well, the forensic, you know, physician determined the cause of death was from brain trauma. But they show underlying causes for rhabdomyolysis, which is basically muscle wasting in, you know, layman's terms. Muscle wasting along with a sickle cell trait that, you know, the fighter suffered from. Now, the official point of death was the brain trauma, but that's not to say that these other factors did not have a role, because they did. There's shadiness all over this. It's going to put a black mark on this, especially the camp of Duke Rufus, how everything was handled. We have fighters coming out now saying how his camps are run, no quit mentality, and just how it's very abusive there, physically and verbally abusive. Doesn't help. It doesn't help the state it was held in. You know, Wisconsin, while it does regulate mixed martial arts, I do believe that kickboxing is not regulated, and that's one of the articles that I read. You know, there was a bunch of factors, you know, that contributed to it, that led to this controversy. That was one of them. You know, the medical teams, I mean, with these, with the no regulations as far as, you know, kickboxing, basically the promoter, it's up to the promoter to get everything together. So obviously, you know, they're going to make their own rules. As far as ringside physicians, I believe there was only one ringside doctor. Usually there's always a backup there. EMTs and the, you know, licensed paramedics that were more trained were called off. There was a decision to bring him to a local hospital rather than a level one trauma care. So the ball was dropped here in so many, you know, I mean, we could keep going on and on, keep going on the weight cutting. That's the other issue. We talked about this before on the show, and, you know, a con against same day weight cutting, you know, he's cutting his weight on the day of the fight. And do you have that time to rehydrate? Absolutely not. Rehydrate and refuel? No. And that's going to leave you dehydrated. There are complaints that he was thirsty but was not drinking. I believe was a quote that came out. So, you know, you go into this fight and you're not hydrated. Your nutrients are depleted. It's going to cause a lot of other issues. It's going to cause the, you know, like I've gone through this before, potassium, sodium, all those, you know, all those electrolytes have vital roles within the body. You know, and going into it, that sickle cell, I'm going to probably jump all over the place. So if you guys want to cut me off and get on track.
No, well, you know more about this than us.
But being on track is not my strong point. I kind of go back and forth. So if I lose anybody, you know, let me know. I just kind of bounce, my head's like all over the place with this. You know, this sickle cell, for people that don't know about sickle cell disease, it's basically your red blood cells. They're formed like crescents. And the problem with it not being a round shape is their ability to navigate throughout the bloodstream easily. When they're crescents, they're going to get caught. And, you know, it's a whole oxygen process. The blood flow with the hemoglobin that, you know, makes up your blood delivers the oxygen to the rest of the parts of your body. That's why we're alive. That's why we could function. Now, you put this in a high-level athlete that's fighting, you need blood flow. These sickle cells can result in clots. And, you know, they'll get stuck against the walls and the blood flow won't go through. You know, it's almost like a clogged pipe, clogged drain pipe. You know, it's going to increase your pressure. That's going to put more increased stress on vital organs in your body. what's interesting to note about this is the kidneys have played a tremendous role in this. If you look at the autopsy, there's really not much findings, which I find it's kind of remarkable that these findings, pretty much his brain was untouched. There was no evidence of hemorrhaging at all. The kidneys also weren't affected. I really don't know what's, you know, it's so weird. Like, the kidneys had a huge part in his, this unfortunate, the passing of this fighter. You're dehydrated. Your kidneys are going in overload. There's no room to replace these toxins. So you have that issue going on. Now you also have the sickle cell that's going on. It's not process bringing the oxygen to the rest of the organs. The blood flow's not going properly. Kidneys are affected. Not to mention his heart, his brain, the spinal fluid and around his brain to help the absorption of the punches. That's also into play. It's a lot of shadiness. I mean, all these people were pretty much under the payroll of the promoter, and Duke Rufus is at the epicenter of all this. So, you know, these doctors and these, you know, the cut men, the referees, everybody that's involved is under the payroll. How qualified were they? I don't know much about, from what we're just seeing in these articles about it. I know that's a criticism that's been going on. And, you know, the autopsy too. Who's under the payroll? This ringside physician and the medical examiner, I'm sure, is not under the payroll, but he's got to be somehow related to all this. So not that they're covering it up, and I don't want to, you know, speculate with that, but it's an unfortunate incident, and it puts a black eye on this sport. It seems like we go over this all the time where, you know, mixed martial arts is trying to get regulated, and in my state of New York, and yes, this was kickboxing, but still, combat sports in general, always from time to time, you're going to have these staunch Democrats that are going to bitch about it, and they're going to say all this stuff, and then you see one of these instances, and it makes it look awful. And this could have been prevented, and this is what's the scary thing. The minister, and then one thing that I alluded to, or I didn't talk about earlier, was the fact they did not administer oxygen to him immediately.
It's a fucking joke.
And which is ridiculous. That's your first thing. I mean, you know, you got to get that airway going, oxygen, you get that blood flowing. And then specifically, this whole sickle cell thing, it goes back to that too. He's not, his blood is not providing that oxygen. I did read, I could be wrong, but I think that he may have not disclosed that with his medical examination and his pre-fight testing. But again, how regulated was this? They should go over all this. I mean, there should be records. Unless he did not know himself, there's going to be records on file. If you're a fighter, and yes, this was an amateur fight, this should still be cleared with multiple physicians. So it's kind of disgusting. It's one thing if something can't be prevented, but this is such an unfortunate incident that happened. You know,
I don't know how anybody in his corner or the referee can ever get a good night's sleep ever again, because it's so. I've seen the video now. It's like, it should have been stopped so early. I mean, there was obviously something so wrong. I mean, it should have been stopped in the fucking morning. I mean, when he had when he had the weight cut, and they had same day weigh-in so late, and he was so dehydrated going into there, and you could tell he's fucked. As I've cornered quite a few fights, I've only ever stopped one. I've only ever stopped one once, and like, Charlie, you've seen that.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, that was fair, right?
Well, yeah, because she wasn't. She was a student.
Well, yeah, it was an amateur fight. And that's the one thing. Yeah. This is an amateur fight. This isn't a fight for the world fucking title. There's nothing to gain from just balding it out a bit, taking a few more injuries and pushing out as hard as you can. It's an amateur fight. Nobody's going to judge you if you lose. It doesn't matter. That's the thing. And But I don't know, it's this whole fucking culture behind this gym, it seems. I mean, fucking hell. I'm so enraged by this, just looking at this. I just can't understand how these people involved, and especially the coach, Cornerman, could push his fighter out there and do this. I mean, as soon as you sense trouble, and it's quite easy as a coach when you sort of see, okay, my person can't win this, they're not defending themselves. As a fighter, your job is to push to the bitter end. Your job is to fight through, and you put that trust in the coach through their experience, right, through their knowledge, through their wisdom, that they would be okay, that they could push as far as you go, and you've got that safety net of the coach and the referee as well. To be honest, if I was in the other fucking corner, or if I was the other fighter, I would have stopped. If I was fighting a guy and he's like that and he's not defending and nobody's stopping it, I'm going to stop the fight myself. I'm going to tap out. I'm going to say, all right, I surrender. If you saw that guy who did it recently in the amateur MMA bout, it was a few months ago, this guy in an amateur MMA bout, he was beating the shit out of this guy. Wasn't defending himself, and the referee wasn't stepping in, so he just tapped out and said, no, we're amateurs, like, there's no point for him to be taking this punishment. I'm not going to do it.
Do you want to hear something disturbing?
Go for it, man.
The referee, who I'm not sure, well, put it this way, the event was organised by the gym. I'm not sure if he was directly on the payroll or if he was just hired by them. He was independent. But he told police that his instructions were basically to take into account the safety of the fighters, make sure the rules are followed. And he also added he also has to consider the entertainment of the audience.
That's chilling.
Yeah. That's fucking disturbing.
That shouldn't even be on there.
That should not be on there.
No, that's not his job. That's... The referee's job is never to focus on the entertainment of never.
No, this is a story that is kind of, I mean, everyone's gone into this whole kind of, you know, Rose Namajunas and all of this Pat Barry anti-Duke stuff, and that's become the big story. In my opinion, that's not the big story. The big story here is that an independent referee was instructed to consider the entertainment of an audience in an MMA event.
Right.
That's the biggest story of this whole thing, in my opinion. And well, obviously you've got all of the other officials and stuff, and you've got obviously the medical guy. There was two hospitals to choose from, and he picked the one that was closer because he thought he suffered no significant trauma, even though it came out after that. People from around the area saying they had no trauma incident. They had nothing to do with someone who's lost consciousness. They have no actual way to deal with this. And his explanation was that he suffered no significant trauma. This is what the official said. And if you look at the video, I haven't actually watched it, you can apparently see the official through the whole fight, basically looking on his phone.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, because anybody who saw that fight knows that that's pretty significant trauma.
And apparently he wasn't responding to being asked to blink.
Yeah, that's it. You know, that would have been called immediately. On the UFC fights, how many doctors do you see at ringside? That's a thing, too. I think the UFC, there's definitely more than two. I usually see about three or four.
Yep.
They had one.
And there's you one have to, for a start.
Yeah, you have to have one. You don't have any – there were no inspectors. The state commissioner was not there either. You know, not to mention the fact that going back to the payroll thing, I'm reading right now the officials – all of them had deep connections to the promoters.
Yeah, I thought so.
Which is a conflict of interest. So yeah. The doctors and referees, I mean, ethically, I don't know how legally, but ethically, that's a no-no. You don't do that. And I mean, and the elevator thing too. We should add the elevator.
Yeah, of course.
The elevator was on a different floor. It delays the transport for 5 minutes. And they also said now in the report, I guess there's 32 seconds that are cut out of the video.
Yeah.
They found that, though.
Have they found it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they found that whole thing.
And they found it. It shows the corner man slapping Munson.
Yeah.
Holding him by the face and neck, and the doctor was, whatever, not paying attention to all this. But
Sport refused to give the police and to start off with.
We should name them, by the way, the corner men. Scott Cushman and Joe Nichols. Both of them, And then also, you don't have to be a doctor to see serious signs of traumatic brain injury. Right. Like, I know the basic concussion test. I've been training that, and I'm quite low level in combat sports. These guys, Scott Cushman, he's been Rufus Mort's long-time lead striking instructor, and Joe Nichols' coach there. So they should both know, like, how to check for concussion and just know when something's not right. Someone not responding to being asked to blink,
right?
There is something fucking wrong.
Yeah, that's it. Your fight's over. That's it. You know?
Fight's over? Fucking call the ambulance. Fuck the fuck.
As soon as he crossed his feet, as soon as he crossed his feet in the in the ring, or wobble, and he wasn't defending shot, that's the end of the fight.
Yeah.
But the referee was worried about the audience having a good night. And instead, he scarred them all for life.
Yeah.
Well done. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's a fucking disgrace.
It's awful.
I sincerely hope a manslaughter charge comes out of this, because it really should.
They already said, didn't they already come back and say nothing? Like, I mean, I'm sure there could be like a civil. I bet you there'll be a civil suit, but they're not charging anybody right now. So
what the
obviously
fuck?
Investigation.
How can you not charge anyone for this?
That's right now, though. You know, but you know, who knows? I mean, things change. I don't know if the investigation's. Oh, I'm hoping the investigation's not over with.
Well, the state look into it, can they? The state haven't got legal precedence to even look into it.
Right. Yeah. So, because
basically, it probably will be over.
Yeah, it's not. The only thing I could see is a civil suit from the family. You know, that's where I could see that going.
Well, to be honest, I don't know. I'm so mad about this. Fuck Anthony Pettis. Fuck anybody who like endorses the gym. That's where I'm at right now. I mean, it's just they can't get away with this. In a sense, this is so obvious. And if the fucking pigs in Milwaukee aren't going to do anything about this, like, fuck you lazy ass pig cunts.
like, how do you really feel?
I think if everybody involved in this, they know what's happening, and this is so fucking obvious, and if you got a bunch of pigs who aren't going to go after it and are just going to be like, nothing's happened, like, for whatever reason, then they're fucking scum of the earth. The referee, unless Cushman, Nichols, Rufus, you guys are scum. You really are. You're a fucking disgrace to the sport. The referee, the doctor, all of these guys, the promoter, everyone involved in this fucking event, you horrible suckers of Satan's cock. I hope you fucking get what's coming to you. You terrible, terrible human beings. You disgraces to the sport. You deserve to be strung up on manslaughter charges and spend some serious time in prison. Unless, of course, you come out and rat out everybody else involved and come completely clean and beg for fucking forgiveness and give this man's family all your fucking money.
But they're in denial. Like, they're blaming the whole thing on the sickle cell stuff, aren't they?
These pieces of shit. The only thing they can do to save their fucking... to save any kind of shred of humanity they may have is to come out, come completely clean, rat out everything, and do right by this man's family. If not, and anyway, I'm holding accountability as well to Anthony Pettis and anybody involved in fucking Rufus Sport.
Eric Koch came out today defending him. Did you see this?
Fuck Eric Koch as well. I saw that as well. Like, fuck Eric Koch. And the thing that's annoying me now is how this is turning into a bit of a drama between Rose Namajunas and all the people kind of saying, oh yeah, they bully a lot in that gym, don't they? Because of course it's a fucking disgrace, and we've seen they've got so many they've had so many cases there with Rufus. You saw the thing about the guys, like a 300-pound guy sparring with a 150-pound guy, and Rufus shouting at 300-pound guy for not hitting the 151 hard enough during
and then hitting him in the face himself.
Yep.
To the point where he just quit the gym.
As you should. But it's like...
Have you seen any of this, Adam? For your coaches?
No. No. I mean, like coaches are tough, but there's a fucking... there's a limit. There's not, and fundamentally, they look out for your safety. I mean, when I had a concussion, my coach was very serious, as in like, no, you're not training. Like, get out of.
It should be.
Yeah, and he was like, if I catch you training, like, I'm not.
There has to be a degree of loco parenti involved, in my opinion. Like, I don't even care if they're 25, 26 year old men.
That's sad. I mean, coaches should never also coach beyond their experience. They should never risk the safety of their participants. They should never push this horrible fucking mentality. I mean, Rufus is obviously a psychotic man. He's obviously like a sadist. He doesn't give a fuck. And if Pettis is like, I'm just so fucking out. I'm going to tweet your Pettis calling him scum, I think. Something. I don't know. I'm just so angry about this. I just want to do something.
I'm not against that. But we need some truth. We need some answers. But they need to face up to what's happened. That's the thing. They haven't faced up to what's happened. That's the problem. Like, it's not that it's even completely unforgivable. If they just said, this was a horrific mistake, we pushed people too hard, we didn't realise that this would happen, we didn't realise the medical team would be so inept, we didn't realise he was this in danger, we're so sorry, we can't even believe it, we'll change in the future. Like, they would stand a chance of being PR neutral in 10 years. But they're not going to do that. They're going to do the opposite. They're going to fight it and deny it until the bitter end and hope that this just kind of goes away.
All right, I have tweeted at Showtime Pettis, if you stay at that gym, you are complicit in something unforgivable and I have no idea how you can live with yourself. That's fair, isn't it?
I think that's pretty fair, honestly. I think that is pretty fair.
Because what this needs is someone from the inside to, like, you know, get a fucking soul.
Yeah, and people sticking up for him is like, look, I don't care, right? I do not care if those people that cornered him give all of their money to charity. I don't care if they're nice to their wives. I don't care if they give money to Greenpeace. I don't give a crap. What matters is that they fucked up. Someone died on their watch and they're not facing up to it. It doesn't matter how good a guy he is. It doesn't even really matter what goes on in the gym. Even if the gym was perfect, this would still be unforgivable to do this and not face up to it. So I don't want to hear about how, like Eric Cope, I don't want to hear about how nice they were to you when you lost to Dustin Poirier or whatever. Do you know what I mean? I don't care. I just, this is unforgivable. It's different. This is not along the lines of, oh yeah, well, he owes me 50 quid and he won't give it back and someone else vouching for him. Like, it's not like that. It's manslaughter. It's a crime. This is proper serious stuff. You can't just write this stuff off by putting nice little anecdotes on Facebook or Squaw, whatever Squaw is, by the way. It's not good enough.
What the fuck is Squaw?
Good question.
Isn't it like some new Instagram/Facebook for athletes?
For athletes? Something.
Yeah, it's the athletes are like, I don't know, I see all these athletes are like, I read it, there was some article like, what the hell is Squaw? And you see it in the world of sports. I don't know. It's professional athlete. It's just another bullshit thing. That's all. For people
okay,
to show
so
off their.
That's what Eric Tate has been using.
Yeah, so.
I'm so angry, dude. So angry.
Yeah, but I, you know, and it's right. Regardless, I mean, there's so many people going back to sickle cell. I also just want to say, like, it's no excuse. I mean, anybody that has sickle cell can live a healthy life. It's
what,
not. I mean,
one in 12 African Americans have it or something.
Yeah, and I mean, he has the trait. I don't even think he has full blown sickle cell. I mean, he does, but.
And they said they couldn't find any log jams in the autopsy report, right?
Yeah, exactly. So.
And they explained away the high sodium potassium levels with the resuscitation.
Yep. Yes, you got that right. Exactly. So it's.
So there you go.
Yeah. So he was okay. I mean, he was. It doesn't help, is what I'm saying. So the poor guy is, you know, it obviously it may have had some, you know, contributions to it, but shouldn't have gotten to that, you know, when it gets to that point. So,
and also, if you are considering getting into combat sports, watch your fucking back and make sure when you enter stuff, make sure you know where everyone is. Make sure they're all competent. Make sure they're all watching. Make sure you're fighting for a promoter that is above board.
Right.
And make sure you know what you're doing before you put yourself in danger.
Yeah, and don't listen to your coach is entirely when it comes to like how much you could push during a weight cut and all that. If you have any concerns, like if you feel wrong or anything like that, research it yourself. I mean, this isn't right. I mean, if you've got a dodgy coach like that who pushes you like that, it's not like the problem isn't you not toughing it out. The problem is them. That's not right. How you bring up athletes. That's not how you bring up champions. I mean,
not at all.
I mean, it's not like this gym and these tactics made Anthony Pettis or the stars of that gym. No, nobody's come up via this. I mean, people have like had brutal gym ethic, but nothing like this. This isn't designed to make this. This is just fucking sadism. Ugh.
Right.
I've seen a little bit of this, honestly. I mean, I'm not going to name any names because it might just be that my body was made to fall apart, and I'm not going to completely write that off. But I remember I trained at a very jiu-jitsu heavy gym, and I and the teacher there was, you know, pretty high up in the jiu-jitsu world. And I remember one of my first like third or fourth session, I was struggling with knee bars because, you know, I'd only been doing it for a little bit and my legs are pretty short anyway, and I just couldn't get the position right. And he said, no, I'll show you to do it. And he put the knee bar on me, and my knee has never been the same, quite frankly. And I actually audibly went, like that, and he didn't let go and had to tap before he let go. Like, this has happened to me in the past. And it's only now I look back on that, and every time I walk up the stairs, I feel a little bit gingery on my left leg, and I start to think, wow, that was a cunt move. Do you know what I mean? So I understand right. How at the time these things can happen to you, and you don't think, wow, that was horrible. But then later on, you do realize it. So make sure you are aware and you don't get stuck into that kind of Zimbardo-esque mentality where you just give in to anyone who has a black belt. Because some of them can be just... Look at Anthony Johnson. No, he's been cleared. Take that back. Look at War Machine. There are evil people who are very good at martial arts. I know everyone likes to look at martial arts as this kind of, you know, journey to being this great person alongside being a good fighter, and how it's all an analogy for living a good life. That's all well and good, but it's not always true. Some people are just good at it and cunts. And you got to keep an eye out. Be careful, be vigilant.
Do you guys want to move on from this?
Yeah, sounds good.
I mean, I'm pissed too. I'll be the calm one out of the three of us right now.
I'm happy to just leave all these little silences as well, just for people to listen and just sort of think about this.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to edit it out.
No. I thought completely go to Derek Brunson's Brunson's family. And,
I believe they're starting an initiative, aren't they?
Dennis Brunson's family. Yeah, I hope. Like, Dennis Monson, sorry. Not Derek Brunson. Who the fuck? Sorry.
Yeah.
Dennis Monson.
Dennis Monson.
Like, if anybody's listened to this and has, like, any use for us in, like, exposing whatever or any helping out, we can't do much, but whatever we can. I mean, all the power to you guys. I hope you get the justice you truly deserve, and the scum, like, who are responsible for this, really eventually get held accountable. This won't be let go. I will do what I can to make sure this isn't let go, and this isn't just swept under the rug like it's so intended to be. And if it takes going through stars like Pettis, going after Rufus's stars like that, then albeit they're complicit.
If now we got stars like the three of us.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Tens of listeners.
Well, we got more than that.
Yeah, we've got hundreds before.
We have.
See?
Yeah, we've gotten to the hundreds.
Worldwide.
Shout out to San Jose.
Yeah, San Jose, California. Woo! Fucking.
Yeah, we know
you're
there, San Jose.
Yeah.
Let me come over there and watch the Sharks at some point.
But yeah, okay, let's go to something a bit more nice. We've got fights this weekend. Woo! Fighting. Woo! I'm gonna look and see if any of these guys are from Rupert Sport. If they're, I'm gonna talk shit on them.
Well, actually.
Which one?
I don't know. We have somebody that has left Rufus. He's in the news about, I don't know if he actually came out and talked about him, I believe, Chico.
Oh, Chico Camus. Is he? Oh, okay. Well, he's left them. Okay.
He's left, yeah. That's
okay, fair enough.
I think he Yeah, I think he talked about it, actually. Let me see if he... I'm going to look it up while we talk about this.
Yeah, if there's any current ones, I'll talk shit on them. But anyway, yeah, obviously headlined by the Frankie Edgar Cup Swanson bout, which is being talked about, not necessarily if it's a number one contender bout. If Cup Swanson wins, I don't really see how they can deny him the number one contender spot, really. But I don't know. I don't see how I see this fight going. I mean, Frankie Edgar, he shouldn't have taken the fight with BJ Penn and the whole tough season, because that was just a waste of everybody's time and just a sad, sad ending to a legend. But Frankie Edgar's always a beast. I see this fight going 5 rounds. I see Cub Swanson edging a decision. I think he establishes his jab cross so well. He'll just catch Frankie Edgar coming in so many times. I don't think Frankie Edgar will be knocked out, because I don't think he's capable of being knocked out. Mm. I think he'll take a lot of damage. I think he'll have a lot of success. But I just see Swanson doing more damage and just doing more stuff at range and taking 48-47. Anybody disagree with that?
It's going to be a fun fight.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be one hell of a fight. I mean, I almost don't want to predict this. Say again?
How about Edgar's wrestling? Do you think he can take advantage there, work a little top game?
Oh, yeah. I think he's going
to get... Cobb Swanson's amazing on the ground, don't get me wrong, but it's hard to, you know, it's hard to submit someone from the bottom at this level.
But I think he'll get a few takedowns, but I don't think he'll do much with them, sort of thing. As a sort of...
You're thinking like a sort of 48-47 for Swanson, that sort of thing?
Or... Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, 48-47 for Swanson.
But... Yeah, I'm with you, to be honest. I think I'm almost exactly the same.
Yeah, it'll be a fun fight regardless. I mean, I almost don't want either of them to win, because it'll just be just enjoy a really good display of mixed martial arts from both of these very fine competitors.
Let's root for a draw.
Yeah, and a rematch.
Frankie Edgar hasn't had enough draws, if there's one thing he hasn't had.
But yeah, it should be a great one either way. I'm enjoying it. And the co-main event, fucking sick. Bobby Green, Edson Barboza. Barboza's, yeah. He's looked... amazing against not good people. I think this is the best way of describing
Terry Etten.
Terry Etten's good, but it's just like in his last few fights and his last fight as well against Evan Dunham, that was incredible. But against Cerrone, he got fluid with a jab. Daddy Castillo, it wasn't great. Like, I thought there was an argument for Castillo winning that. But against lower level competition, he's looked incredible. Well, Ross Pearson, I thought, took it from him. He's had quite an odd career. He's like this. He's a very, very good striker. Everyone knows that. Like incredible, incredible kicks. But it's just a question of how far can he go in this sport. Bobby Green's an odd one. He's just beaten in an upset, Josh Thompson. So rising through the ranks in that way. Rising through that ranks in that way means he's a possible title contender, because like Thompson's no joke. I don't know. I see this fight as a kickboxing one. It'd be pretty sweet. Bobby Green probably slightly taking it. Is that too much? Probably, probably slightly taking it. Really putting a great pick on there. There will be lots of kicks in this fight, and it'll be fucking entertaining.
To be honest, I'm leaning more towards Barboza for this one.
Oh, yeah?
I think, just in terms of his kickboxing, I just think he's a little bit more dynamic than a guy like Josh Thompson, who is a good technical striker. I think S. Barboza has that little bit of flair, that little bit of something extra. And I think he can shut him down. I'm not sure Bobby Green's going to be able to do to Edson Barboza what some of the really elite strikers have done to him. I'm not entirely convinced of that. And I think on the ground, I think Barboza probably has an advantage. So I'm leaning more towards him, but I could definitely see it either way. It's going to be a really good fight. And whoever wins could be in for a really good setup fight next.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see... Barboza's quite recently lost to Cerrone, so I don't see Barboza entering title contention without quite a big win streak. Because like lightweight's a mess at the moment, because everybody's been beaten by somebody.
I'm saying he'll get a good fight, but that's because anyone in the top 10, I feel like, is a good fight. Because I feel like if you anyone in the top 10, that is something.
Yep. Nurmagomedov has beaten Adesanya, who's beaten Cerrone, which makes someone beating Dos Anjos or beating Cerrone irrelevant for title contention in terms of establishing themselves as a top contender. So that's why mathematically it's quite odd. And until Nurmagomedov comes back, I don't think we will have a true clear and cut number one contender.
True. We see. Except also by that logic, Poland are like basically now the best team in football because they beat Germany. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. I mean, it doesn't. But this is how kind of like title shots work, is in like the this next best guy in the division, the second best guy, and I think that's Nurmagomedov at the moment, because he's beaten Dos Anjos, he's beaten Cerrone, and Cerrone and Dos Anjos have capped off everybody else. So I think Nurmagomedov deserves a title shot above them.
Oh, Nurmagomedov certainly is number one contender, but maybe only because he's 22-0. I mean, come on.
Yeah, he's there's a lot of other sick fights in this card. I mean, we've got a chance to see a new contender at flyweight, as in someone who hasn't already been beaten by Demetrius Johnson with Dustin Ortiz. He fights Joseph Benavidez, another one of a person who's like an undisputed number two in the division. Mm, well, apart from John Dodson. But like, yeah, if Benavidez wins this, I don't really see what you can do with him, because once you've already lost twice to a champion, especially a guy who's not going anywhere for a while, like DJ. But Dustin Ortiz, he hasn't looked too impressive, because he's only won by split decisions. And he's taken out Scott, because I thought he beat Moraga. But hey, we could see a number one contender. I'm still so pissed off from the last segment. I don't get it. We have a chance to get, because the top two English fighters got KO'd and submitted last weekend.
It's sad that they're still the top two English fighters, by the way.
Yeah, they've been there for
a
while.
That's a sad fucking state of affairs right there. What the fuck is that about? Ross Pearson and Michael Bisping are still our number one and two. Like, if you'd have asked me that in 2006, I'd have been like, are you serious?
Partly because I know I have a long theory about why British MMA sucks, especially in London. Have you seen how much MMA gyms cost here?
Yeah.
Like, doesn't ridiculous. Help, does it? Ridiculous.
And we don't have that wrestling background.
Obviously. Yeah, we don't have the same background with athletes in this country. We don't bring up athletes very well. Unless, of course, you're privately educated.
All of the England football team nowadays are all from private schools.
Oh, okay, we're going to stop this now because I'm going to get more angry. And
saying is the United States is better than England.
Oh, yeah, big time.
I just wanted to say that.
I agree with that. And,
we're going to get some British people for agreeing, but
I've
got my immigration for that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm immigrating first opportunity I can get.
Okay, I just wanted to put that on record.
I'll take Canada.
Yeah, Canada. Well, Canada. at least free healthcare at least. Ugh. At least we don't let poor people die.
Tony's a doctor, so he's not so much with the whole NHS.
Yeah, we could get in we could do a whole segment of a year on national healthcare. No, I'd rather not get into that whole can.
Do you want poor people to die, Tony? Is that it?
I do not. No, I do not want poor people to die, but I also don't want. Like I said, I could get in a whole conversation about this.
We'll have this conversation.
It's going to water it down and all that crap.
Anyway, my point was... Yeah, I forget. I don't know how it came to this. I was about to talk about Luke Bonnett and Brad Pickett are fighting.
Wait, Brad Pickett?
But yeah, I mean, Luke Bonnett...
He's been around 8 years as well.
Yeah, Luke Bonnett, he's an exciting prospect.
But Brad Pickett?
No, Luke Barnett.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Did you see him on The Ultimate Fighter when they were talking about like his motivation for being a fighter? I said, "You ever been to England? It's shit. I don't want to go back there." He's just talking about how miserable it is in Cambridge, and it's just like, yeah, I want to fight and like live in Vegas. I'm gonna fight my ass off so I don't have to go back to that shitty place in Cambridge.
Yeah. And that's Cambridge, that's the south, that's the nice bit.
Nah, Bristol's lovely though, I do admit. Bristol's lovely.
Expensive though. If you want to buy a house, it'll cost you £14 million.
Ugh. But anyway, we've got an interesting heavyweight fight, Jared Rochelt versus Oleksiy Olynyk. I think it's that. So that'll be quite a sweet one to come out. Another interesting one is Paige Van Zandt is making a UFC debut. Originally slated to appear on Ultimate Fighter 20, but then they decided she's too young for some reason. I mean, that was a weird one. Why they said, like, because she's under 21. I mean,
because there was alcohol in the house, right?
I guess so. I mean, that wasn't the official reason given.
How old is Calderwood?
She's older than 21. I think she's.
Oh, really?
She must be, because she's had quite a few fights. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was fucking stupid because obviously they're not going to be drinking in the house because they're fighting for a fucking title. They're going to take it seriously.
Then again, the Mexicans are drinking.
Oh yeah, they were. But yeah, that's a male Ultimate Fighter. They don't take shit as seriously. It's not for a title, and. We could go into the Ultimate Fighter at one point if you guys want.
This has been a really disappointing season.
Have you caught up yet?
Yeah.
So, you know,
am I the only one to think they really overhyped this season?
No, I've been enjoying it.
Especially like the fights.
I thought they were good.
We were told that they're all supposed to be these barmen, and they've been like average, kind of.
Oh yeah, they've been good.
Some good ones, some average ones. Maybe I was just expecting a bit too much.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's not, they're not like scraps, but. You won't get that at this stage in the tournament anyway, like the early ones. I just find it weird, as in, like, they're dealing with all the kind of normal tough issues, but reacting completely differently. Like, Tisha Torres comes back into the tournament because there's an injury, and everybody's acting like it's the most obscene fucking thing ever. Like, oh, how dare she? How dare she take an opportunity to get back in the tournament? I'm not going to train with her. Oh, that bitch, she went to the other team. How dare she? Oh, she has to go in the other room. We have to have a meeting and discuss our feelings about this and, like, say she has to go into the other room. And it's like, oh, you have to sleep in the other room. It's like, oh, I don't like her. Like, oh, I kind of miss, like, you know, jizzing on sushi and pissing on beds. I'm starting to think men have, like, a much healthier way of coping with these stupid things.
Then again, have you watched Tough Latin America? They're having some big problems with clean kitchens and...
I think the drama's just annoying. It's just... I know, it's just weird the way they've cultured it about. And there's so much shit talk between all of them. But, I don't know, I'm excited for all the fights. I think technically, like... These are all very exciting. I'm very excited to see who emerges the champion and who emerges top.
Yeah, agreed.
I think I've had most episodes spoiled for me in the sense that you can always tell which one is going to win by who's happier on Twitter. I mean, the time Felice Herrig stops hyping her fights on the Tough Twitter and like having smiley faces and like, oh, make sure you catch Ultimate Fighter tonight. That's the point where I think she's losing and out of the tournament. Because, like, her next fight against Randa Marcos, she's posting a lot about it and she seems really positive about it. Randa Marcos, social media-wise, doesn't seem to be posting as much. So I'm assuming Felice Herrig is going to win that.
Yeah.
Just by my logic, but she promotes a lot anyway. But, yeah, where did we get from this? Oh, yeah, Paige Van Zandt. She's fine. So that'll be interesting. She's only lost to Tisha Torres, but let's face it, most of them have lost to Tisha Torres. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see if she can establish herself as a contender, because like obviously they're going to be looking for contenders in this division soon after. So I don't know much about Kaylin Curran, her opponent, but hopefully this will be fun. This will be a fun fight. This will be a fun event this weekend. It'll be great to watch. I actually won't be watching this event until Sunday night, will I? That's a shame. No, yeah, because I'm fighting on Sunday, low level Muay Thai, and so I probably should sleep the night before and can't stay up, so I'll just be doing that shit. Yeah, anything else anybody wants to put out on the airwaves before we wrap this shit up?
Well, going back to Chico against Brad Pickett, he's back with Rufus.
Oh, is he?
I mean, unless something changed in the past month, October 18th, Duke Rufus actually tweeted, "Good job, welcome home," to him. So, yeah, and it says, "Camu later labeled the split as misunderstanding and is back with the team as he prepares to drop to flyweight to face Brad Pickett." So, it's a big fuck off to him too, I guess.
I'm going to tweet at him.
I've got a couple of
things. I know you were happy about him, but there you go. Another reason to get you fired up. He's back with Duke. So,
McGregor called Dennis Siver a Nazi.
Yeah, I saw that. That's bad.
He quickly deleted that. I'm sure someone got on the phone to him pretty quickly.
Yeah, oh dear God.
So that happened. Also, I would keep an eye out for Brock Lesnar. This is the most confident I've ever been about him coming back to MMA at any point. Just some sort of monitoring what's going on in wrestling. Even though he's WWE champion.
Yeah, but
I've never been more confident.
I think he's going to come back too, and he said... That was something that he talked about. Dana's been in contact with him, and Brock expressed a desire to fight. But, you know, how long is his contract for still?
It's after WrestleMania. It runs out after WrestleMania this year. So he was going to – basically, he's going to lose the title either at Royal Rumble or at WrestleMania to Daniel Bryan if he's back, or Roman Reigns. And then he's going to be a free agent again. And then I think he's going to come back. He looks amazing. I don't know if anyone's seen him recently. He looks ridiculous. He looks confident. He's over his diverticulitis. And I think he fancies another bit. I think he's realised there's actually probably more money in it for him over on the UFC side and the WWE side. Because the only way to get over with the WWE fans is to turn up every fucking now and then.
Right.
And he's not going to. He doesn't care enough. And he's still really good, which is what's really annoying about the whole thing.
Going to that too, that wrestling, you really think he's going to lose it to one of them too?
Yep.
I can't even watch it anymore. It's getting, it's awful.
It's not good, is it?
It's not good. I mean, what do they have, Ryback's back in the picture now?
Let's talk about the good thing, which is that New Japan are going to have a pay-per-view, and it's going to be a commentated in by Jim Ross, and it's going to be a pay-per-view for the American market, and Japanese wrestling is amazing, and even MMA fans will find something that they enjoy in Japanese wrestling. So if you've ever had any want to even see what pro wrestling is even about, don't watch WWE. Just go straight to New Japan and see some proper good athletes who are trained in catch wrestling, going back hundreds upon hundreds of years, coming out of these dojos which take it really seriously and are actually really talented.
Right.
And don't waste your time on Vince McMahon book crap.
Yeah, it's brutal. There's hardly any characters anymore left.
Anyways, guys, that has been Punch Drunk Philosophy. I'm not sure what episode we're on now, but yeah, that was a good episode. It's great to be back. We'll be back with our regular kind of schedule now. We'll sort out when we do it. We're still doing twice weekly, I think. Yeah, we'll do twice weekly. We'll probably be back next Monday, if that's cool with you guys.
Yeah, Monday or Sunday, because if we're going to party after your fight, I might just bring the laptop to sit there in the middle of the party.
Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, we're going to be partying after my fight. And
they could be an audience. They could be a live, captive audience.
Oh, yeah, that'd be sweet. We could record a podcast there. we'll review the fight night, because we'll watch it then. Oh, are you coming to... so you're coming on Sunday. So, we'll sort out our social plans off the air anyway.
Yeah. Anyone else can come as well.
Yeah, anybody listening? Yeah, make sure you come.
Assuming Adam isn't in hospital.
Yeah, don't worry, I'm not going to be cutting weight or doing anything.
And you won't get kicked in the bollocks.
I'm not going to tell that story on the podcast.
No, you don't want to.
Well, another time.
I think they can piece it together for themselves, to be honest.
All right, guys, much love. Goodbye from Tony.
All right, take care, guys.
Goodbye from Charlie.
See you later.
And goodbye from me. Farewell, everybody. Much love.
Yeah.